Welcome into another edition of Full Press Hurricanes Podcast. As always, Mike Napolitano here to break down the second game between the Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes in this Eastern Conference Final of the Stanley Cup Playoffs this year, 2023. Unfortunately, Carolina goes down 2-0 after a second game at home, but it wasn't for lack of trying. Both games, of course, going overtime. Last podcast, we mentioned game one, 4 overtimes were needed to decide that one. And in this case, it would be only 1 overtime, but still extra time would be needed to decide a winner. There has yet to be a 2-goal lead in this series. Of course, the Hurricanes going up 1-0 in game one and then letting it be tied. And then going down 2-1 to the Panthers, and then they tied it right back up, went to those 4 overtimes and lost 3-2. In this game, it would be very similar. Carolina would strike first and get on the board. This time, it was a 5-on-5 goal. Now, last time, I stressed that the 5-on-5 scoring against this Florida Panthers team needed to exist, just in general, because both goals in game one came on the power play. It has usually been the opposite case for the Hurricanes ever since Svechnikov was knocked out of the lineup early in the regular season, and also the lack of Pacioretty. This team could not get their power play in order. Now the tables have turned, and it's almost as if their power play is the only thing saving them in this tough series against the Panthers. Why is that? Because the Panthers play a very good shutdown game. Not unsimilar to what Hurricanes fans have seen in round one against the New York Islanders, a team that just waits and wants you to make the mistake in order to then pounce. I get it, Panthers, pounce. Pounce on those mistakes and capitalize on those efforts. The Panthers do a really good job at it. They get all the little things done right, whether it's physicality in their own end, clearing pucks, dumping pucks down just to be able to get changes, just going with the flow of the game in ways in which it knocks Carolina off their game, because now Carolina has to think outside the box and get a little bit more creative in order to create these scoring chances. And that is when the mistakes occur, when guys are off of their normal game or just, you know, overthinking a play and they make a mistake, and that's when the Florida Panthers tend to go the other way. It also helps that even when you don't make mistakes as the Carolina Hurricanes, you get a perfect opportunity and then you get stopped by a brick wall in net in Sergei Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky has only let in 13 goals in the last 7 games that he's played. He is playing at his top performance right now. The NHL on TNT panel broke down, you know, this is a 2-time Vezina Trophy winning goaltender, but is he playing his best hockey now? It sure looks like it after he made short work of Toronto after a long 7-game series against the Bruins, in which he started out as the backup. Alex Lyon was actually in for the first couple games for Florida, and then Bobrovsky, the veteran, had to reclaim his net and work hard to become the starter that he is now. Speaking of starters, after a 4-overtime game, the Hurricanes decided to give Frederik Andersen a rest and go to Antti Raanta. Of course, Raanta is a good option in Game 2 because of the fact that he does not play well on the road. So if you go to Frederik Andersen again in Game 2 and he does not get the job done for you, not to say that he didn't get the job done in Game 1. He played a phenomenal game, stellar. It went to 4 overtimes. It was the game of the 2 goaltenders. But, of course, he didn't get the win, and it was a long and hard-working game played by Frederik Andersen to go to 4 overtimes. So you give him a rest in Game 2. You go to Antti Raanta, who puts up a very similar performance, and now you're down 2 games. Going into Game 3 on the road in Florida, you can go back to Frederik Andersen now, who does a lot better than Raanta on the road. But let's get into this actual game and start breaking things down. It was a 2-1 final, so not a lot of goals to talk about, but there are a couple of different plays I want to mention. The Hurricanes would get on the board within the first 2 minutes of the first period. 18:17 was left on the clock when this puck went in the net, and it all starts from a neutral zone takeaway from Shane Gostisbehere. He has been stellar in every playoff series for these Hurricanes. He wins it over to his D partner, Jalen Chatfield, who pushes it up the neutral zone right to the blue line, where Stephen Nason is able to fire a shot from the blue line off of Bobrovsky's pad so that it bounces wide and goes to Bobrovsky's right side, so the left side of the attacking end for the Hurricanes. And that is where they would get their second shot. But this time, it would be more of a pass to the middle from Sebastian Aho. He fakes the shot, has Bobrovsky down, and now Chatfield has come right below the dots, right below the circles, right above the blue paint. He has one defenseman on him, stick checking him just at the last moment. That is Josh Mahura, and that's not enough as Chatfield is able to redirect this puck. It goes right past the outstretched glove of Bobrovsky and into the back door of the net. Bobrovsky does get a piece of this with his glove, but not enough, and the Hurricanes are on the board early, and that's what they needed to do. 5-on-5 goal and take the lead early. Again, capitalize on those chances because Florida gives you far and few in between. As I mentioned, Florida does not give you a lot of chances, and they tend to pounce right back. And that is exactly what they did with only 17 and a half minutes to go in the first period. Florida enters the zone, gets a nice play where they drop it off to the defenseman Forsling. Forsling is able to fire a shot as he's cutting across the middle and moving himself, getting some separation from the defender. There's a lot of bodies in front of the net, and it actually goes off of Jesper Foss and into the back of the net. Although, hold on. Do we have a tie game here on Florida's one and only shot so far? No, it is not the case because the whole play started offside. Sam Bennett did not have possession of the puck as he crossed the blue line. He kind of had the puck with him, but it was bouncing. His skates crossed the blue line, and he's more concerned with pushing the defender back than actually corralling the puck. So the puck doesn't even cross the blue before he is fully in the zone. And this goal gets taken back due to the offsides. There was another play in the first in which the Hurricanes dumped this puck down on net on Bobrovsky to try to get a change. Bobrovsky actually tries to catch them in a change and make a pass all the way up into the neutral zone. However, the defenseman is not able to corral this puck, and the Hurricanes go the other way. Stahl actually passes this puck into the slot where Martinuk is breaking through the defense and gets a shot on goal on Bobrovsky and almost gets a tap in on his rebound, but Bobrovsky stands tall. You almost want Martinuk to take an extra second there to get the goaltender down and capitalize on this Florida mistake, but it just doesn't happen, and this game stays 1-0. Florida would get a breakaway chance that Ranta would shut the door on, and then still in this exciting first period, Florida would have a failed clear that Carolina would take advantage of as Paul Stastny was actually pressuring the defenseman along the half wall, and he had no one to pass to, so just a backhander to try to get this out of the zone, but it's gloved and thrown down to the ice right at the blue line by Mackenzie McEachern, and then he walks in with it. He gets pressured, but he has the drop pass into the slot. Completely unguarded is Jack Jury, and Jury sends this puck into the top corner as it's on edge, right over Bobrovsky's glove side. But hold on, again, we are going to get a goal called back due to offsides. Now, I was never shown a proper angle of this. I don't see how this was offsides. Mackenzie McEachern gloves this puck in front of him. He makes the catch in front of his chest and is able to put it down on the ice. His skates are on the blue line. So I don't understand how this puck could have ever gone outside of the zone unless they're ruling that possession with the blue line was not officially in the zone yet. But the rule states that the blue line becomes part of the zone once the puck is in the zone. So he should have been onside, as far as I could tell, as he throws this puck down and then sends it back door to Jack Jury. But nonetheless, we do not get our first two-goal lead in this series, as it is still only 1-0, and they will take that into the first intermission. With about 12 minutes to go in the second period would be when the Florida Panthers get on the board, And this is a failed clear from Carolina. They think that this puck is going to go up the boards, including the defense. And there's where the problem in lies, because this puck doesn't get out. It gets held in at the point by Mahura. And then you get Brady Shea, who's caught thinking this puck is coming out of the zone. So he's in the slot area. He's got a turn because now the captain, Barkov, is below him at the goal line. He gets this pass slotted from the point to him with nobody on him. He actually does a really impressive move, pulls this puck in between his legs. Now, he's a lefty, so he's pulling this puck in between his legs as he's cutting across the goal crease, and Ranta's looking at this puck as he pulls it back between his legs, back in front of him, and then is able to backhand it just past the outstretched glove of Ranta, which ties this game at one off of a beautiful goal. This would tie the game at one, but the Hurricanes would come back with a lot of pressure. It was basically all Hurricanes for the remainder of the second period, as they would get their opportunities on Bobrovsky, but he would shut the door every single time. A lot of breakdowns from this Florida defense here, and that would lead to the opportunities, but still not enough to get one past Bobrovsky and into the back of the net. The remainder of the third period would go back and forth. Both teams would be getting their chances. A two-on-one breakaway with the captain, Stahl, and Jordan Martinuk. And Stahl elects to shoot, almost gets his own rebound, but the puck is bouncing, and it even bounces over the next Carolina Hurricanes stick. And then on the other end of the ice, Colin White, who thought he was the X factor in front of the net for the Florida Panthers in game one during that first overtime game, but unfortunately he was actually the villain because he made contact with the goaltender. He would get an opportunity in this one with Ranta down, but he sends this puck behind Ranta and in front of the posts right through the blue paint. It doesn't go in, and this game stays tied. And for the first time since 1977, both games one and game two of a conference final will be going to overtime. This is not so great for the Hurricanes because the Panthers are 5-0 in overtime playoff games this year compared to the Hurricanes 3-1. Now, they were 3-0 until that game one where Tkachuk ended it. And of course, he would be the Rat King and the villain again in this one. The Hurricanes would get a chance early on, but then the puck would come down the other way. Only 2 minutes off the clock in this first overtime. Sam Bennett, who has often been a liability in these playoffs for the Panthers, but he does, just like Tkachuk, do all the little things right. As I said, sometimes liability, so he takes it too far. But he would take this puck out of the zone in the corner and move it towards the front of the net, where he would find Sam Reinhardt backdoor. Ranta slides over to meet the shot from Reinhardt, and as he does so, Reinhardt sends it back the other way, where the Rat King, once again, Matthew Tkachuk, is able to put this puck in the net, and he celebrates in the corner, but does another walk-off celebration as the Panthers go up 2-0 in the series, and the series shifts over to their home in Florida, and the Hurricanes down in this one. The first time they've been down 2-0 in a series all playoffs, so they're going to have to fight back, especially on the road in Florida. They need to take this next game. You need 5-on-5 goals. You need to capitalize on the few mistakes that Florida makes, and you need goals not disallowed, not offsides calls. And honestly, this series is far from over, but the Hurricanes need to find something here in order to get back in this against the Florida Panthers. This Florida Panthers team surprising everyone, not so much myself, because they're only 1 year removed from being the President's Trophy winners, and so they know how to win, and they're doing so now. I will be back with you on Tuesday after Monday's game three between Carolina and Florida in Florida. Tuesday, I'll be bringing you all the information from that one. And then, of course, game four is Wednesday. Both games starting at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. So tune in to TNT both nights in order to see those. This has been Full Press Hurricanes. I am your host, Mike Napolitano. Let's go, Hurricanes.